Kyle, welcome to the 21 and 21 show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah. Well, you hit like a perfect day. For those of you that are listening, not watching, you should watch because the view is incredible right now.
Absolutely perfect day outside the window here in Presidio Bitcoin.
Yes. And we just were able to adjust the cameras and the lighting so now you can really see the bridge pop.
There we go.
Yes. Yes. So lucky for you, you're the first guest with the perfect view.
Vivid HD.
Yes. Well, for those of you that don't know Kyle Olney, he's a longtime product leader in tech turned Bitcoin advocate who's now focused on protecting the right to self-custody. He helped launch Save Our Wallets, a coalition pushing for Section 109 of the Clarity Act, and is also behind the new Satoshi Needs You campaign, a national call to action for anyone who believes in keeping Bitcoin open and permissionless. And for those of you who have been watching, we have had this Save Our Wallets hat on the table for a little bit.
Yeah, you guys have been great champions of Save Our Wallets since we got it started at the beginning of the year. I really appreciate that. And yeah, Presidio Bitcoin has been very supportive of the initiative and everything that's going on. So I couldn't be happier to be here talking about it today.
Of course, yes. Matt Carell gave me that hat at the conference in Vegas, and I have done my duty to support the cause, him and you, by representing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Of course. Well, let's get into it. Kyle, can you just tell us a little bit about your journey in from tech into Bitcoin and kind of like what led you to do this advocacy work?
Yeah, I'll try to keep it brief, but this is actually a round trip story for me. So I actually started my career seizing banks for the U.S. government during the financial crisis in 08-09. And I had a technical background. I had never actually been involved in software. When this happened, it kind of led me in the direction of Bitcoin. And so I became a very early advocate, political activist on behalf of Bitcoin and sort of the opportunity that presented for normal people to take back control of their money. And then because the industry was so young and I wasn't a developer, there was really no way to actually get involved in the industry for the first, 10 years or so. And then more recently, after a decade plus of having been involved in Silicon Valley startups, I kind of decided to circle back and have made Bitcoin the core focus of my time and energy for the last couple of years here as it's kind of started coming into the mainstream politically.
Very cool. And so right now, kind of like what's your biggest focus that you're working on?
Well, yeah. So as we mentioned, the big focus is Save Our Wallets and then this Satoshi Needs You campaign that we just kicked off a couple weeks ago. So as many people are probably aware, the U.S. government is talking about how to implement market structure regulation for the first time in 15 or 16 years since Bitcoin was created. And having been a part of the government and then also having been an entrepreneur for the better part of the last decade, it was very obvious to me how important this moment was to get involved and to get everybody aware of what was going on. I mean, historically, I think Bitcoiners tend to be a bit allergic to engagement with the government. But whether or not you take an interest in politics, politics will take an interest in you. And so what I've been trying to do and what we have been trying to do with the campaign is just bring a lot more awareness to how important this moment is for Bitcoiners all over both the United States and then the world. And then also just kind of like how critical the regulatory regime will be in terms of our ability to use Bitcoin the way that we've used it for the last 15 or 16 years on a day-to-day basis. So spending a lot of time and energy on that because it's so consequential about, you know, the types of businesses that can exist, the types of businesses that I would want to participate in, and all the kind of inevitable things that come along with that.
Yes, there's... Well, appreciate all the work that you've been doing. So saveourwallets.org, that launched in like April or May, right?
Yeah, we launched it in April, right before the Bitcoin Vegas.
Okay. And then kind of what was the whole mission behind that?
Yeah. So, I mean, again, the situation here is that the U.S. government is debating what is going to be legal and not legal about how we use this technology officially, right, in the United States. And a lot of the discussion that was going on, both over, previous years, but then in particular leading into this year, I found very concerning because, you know, there was discussion about potentially shutting down our ability to transact freely on a peer-to-peer basis between, just normal users in the network. and instead needing to have those transactions intermediated in some capacity through a centralized, sort of institution that either had licenses or, was government sanctioned. And for anybody who's been involved in Bitcoin for any amount of time, obviously that will make the hair stand up on the back of your neck and kind of be a scary and concerning thing. And so really the idea behind Save Our Wallets was like getting people actively aware and then involved in the political process to, help make sure that the U.S. government lands these regulations in the right place where, our ability to transact freely between one another, the ability to have peer-to-peer transactions ultimately does not get trampled on.
And this is all kind of part of the Clarity Act?
Yes. So this is very complicated how this has actually worked. But originally there was a standalone bill called the BRCA, the Blockchain Regulatory Certainty Act. And this is the original thing that we got involved with Save Our Wallets to promote. But then the BRCA was incorporated into the Clarity Act, which is also known as the market structure legislation. And now there's, and this was all in the House. And then in the Senate, they're debating their own version of the bill, which is not called the Clarity Act, at least at this point. It's called the RFIA. And then eventually, once the Senate votes on their version of the market structure rules, then there will be a conference bill where both of the bills have to come back together from the House and the Senate, and they'll have to join the language and figure out what a final conference bill is that can be voted on from the entire Congress. So unfortunately, that's made our task of keeping people aware of what they need to follow and exactly how to be involved much more complicated than it otherwise should have been. But yeah, generally, most people would understand what we're trying to advocate for as either the Clarity Act or the market structure legislation that's in front of Congress right now.
Got it. And so is that like the main goal? Is that to like tweak wording, or is it to like eliminate it completely? Like, what's the ideal outcome?
Well, the ideal outcome is that we get the BRCA language that was in the standalone bill incorporated into whatever final version of the bill gets voted on by Congress. And the reason for that is because the BRCA language would make it 100% clear and sort of codified in U.S. law that if you are a developer of open source, non-custodial software technologies, i.e. most people who are trying to build Bitcoin wallets and useful Bitcoin tools, that you are not a money transmitter and that you do not need to get licensed by the government before you build or distribute your applications. And this would basically prevent or have eliminated what we just saw with the DOJ prosecutions that happened over the summer of the Samurai Wallet and Tornado Cash developers. So, again, the sort of ideal outcome here is that we get this language included in whatever market structure bill the Congress ends up voting on at the end of the year, hopefully. We've also, with the Satoshi Needs You campaign, we've started trying to message to everybody the sense of urgency around the fact that this is kind of a Schrodingerian bill, right? Which is that if the language that we need is included, we as Bitcoiners should support it and try to get this codified into law. But if these BRCA provisions are not included in the final bill and they get stripped out through the conference committee process, that's actually a much worse outcome for everybody in the Bitcoin ecosystem. And so we should then flip to trying to kill the bill because having no law would be better than having bad law.
I see. What are kind of like the biggest misconceptions that you're hearing from people in DC?
There are many. The community and then DC are maybe different questions. So I'd say maybe the biggest misconception among the Bitcoin community is that we've already won or that, didn't we elect all these guys in order to get, the regulations that we wanted or that we expected? And a lot of people have just tuned out. And that's actually, it couldn't be further from the truth. That's actually a scary, laziness, we'll say, that, kind of your average Bitcoiner who doesn't pay attention to politics or doesn't care about it tends to have. And so one of the main things we're trying to just disabuse people of that notion. In Congress, it's kind of an interesting flip in both directions. So on the one hand, they understand how important this industry is. But on the other, they largely respond to lobbyist sort of interests in Washington, D.C., and kind of like the loudest voices that they're hearing from, which tend to be the people who are paying the most amount of money to get the message across. And as we all know, in the Bitcoin community, we don't have a CEO, we don't have a centralized company, there is no marketing team. And so we kind of don't really have the strongest voice in Washington, D.C. right now, relative to a lot of the other interests that are, you know, either more centralized or more on the token issuing side of the fence. And so at the moment, a lot of those guys tend to be driving the conversation and what Congress perceives as the kind of rational Overton window that they should be legislating within. And so I'd say, like, again, here, the objective with Save Our Wallets and the Satoshi Needs You campaign is that we're really trying to educate everybody about, you know, what actually needs to happen in order for the Bitcoin we know and love to continue to exist in the way that it has existed for the last 15 years.
Is there something like is this like Bitcoin only that is, or are there other, like, you know, the broader crypto ecosystem? Does this also affect them too?
Yeah, absolutely. This affects everybody who touches blockchains. So the market structure legislation is meant to kind of be this comprehensive package of rules and laws in order to define, the crypto industry writ large, right? So there's a lot more in the market structure bills that relates to tokens, token issuance, how you qualify as a centralized versus a decentralized project, all these sorts of things, which largely, you know, we could probably live with or without, frankly, in the Bitcoin community. But the BRCA provisions of the Clarity Act are the thing that are critical, like must have from a Bitcoin community perspective. And, you know, these are the things that, again, are kind of make or break the value of this bill if you're a Bitcoiner.
And this mainly just affect, like, does this affect exchanges and custodians, or really just more on the self-custody side?
All of the above, technically. It would definitely affect everybody who's involved in the industry. But to the extent that there are already centralized marketplaces that are following rules and have licenses and everything like that, mostly this wouldn't affect their business. So really what this would do is it would change the smaller projects and decentralized offerings and things of that nature. These are the people who would be most affected by the bill.
Right, because there's just be like such a high barrier to entry to even like operate.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a regulatory capture opportunity for everybody who's already a large player in the market, right? If they can get rules implemented that make it harder for upstart competitors to move in and offer competing services, then they get to pull up the ladder and enjoy the spoils. So this is also a reason why I think everybody who's on the side of, you know, startups and the little guy and kind of disruptive technology, you know, breaking into the industry, like, should care about what's going on with these rules and the legislation in Congress, because it will determine the playing field and the fairness of the playing field for everybody.
For sure. Well, have we seen any positive shifts since launching SaveOurWallets.org?
Yeah, well, I mean, absolutely. The beginning of the year, we were smooth sailing, right? I mean, we had the BRCA bill was a bipartisan bill. It was supported on both sides of the aisle. And then the Clarity Act that passed through the House was also bipartisan. And I think it got roughly half of the Democratic caucus. Or something to that effect. There's a broad support generally. We were on a great track, but then kind of the DOJ prosecutions in the middle of the summer and kind of the latest squabbling back and forth between the Democrats and the Republicans over what's going on with the Trump family token interests has, I think, kind of been a storm cloud that has moved in over the last, you know, couple months. So we had a lot of progress, and I want to encourage people, like, we are, as Bitcoiners, I think probably the strongest political coalition in the United States today. Like, we determine the outcome of the last election and the direction of the Congress. So we have an immense amount of political capital, but we actually have to be in the arena using that political capital in order to accomplish what it is we hope to accomplish. And so I think the, you know, kind of call to action here for everybody who's, if you're a Bitcoiner, if you're listening to this, if you can hear the sound of my voice, all you need to do is pick up the phone and call your senators and congresspeople and let them know that this is important to you. And that there will be a consequence if they don't support the BRCA provisions. And I have every confidence that we can prevail in this fight. But the biggest opponent that we have is apathy, right? It's people just, you know, assuming that they don't need to get involved or that politics is messy. And, you know, that's something that I don't participate in. As I said before, I'm, you know, kind of eternal, well, what I said before was, you know, that politics will take an interest in you even if you don't take an interest in politics. But as our founding fathers, you know, have kind of told us and handed down the wisdom, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, right? So as Bitcoiners, we just cannot ever, you know, drop our guard. We have to always be vigilant and, you know, follow the good old commandment that we got from Satoshi to don't trust, but verify.
Well, yes, it's easy to pick up the phone, so I hope people do. And you have even listed, like, you know, exact words that you can say, right, on the website. Yes, it makes it easy.
Yeah, absolutely. On the website, saveourwallets.org, you can go and type in your zip code. We'll give you all of the contact information for your congresspeople, the regional field offices, the phone numbers. We'll even give you a form letter generator so that you could copy and paste that if you want to send an email, although I will say that a phone call is much more important. Just because it's a lot harder to spoof. And yeah, you can also sign up for updates. And if you do that, we'll send out periodic updates letting people know like when important things are happening in the legislative process and when to get involved in order to really make the most difference.
Got it. And then, so there's this Satoshi Needs You campaign with this kind of powerful image and text. What is the story behind it?
Yeah, well, Satoshi Needs You, as I mentioned, was kind of an idea that came out of the concern that we had over the summer about the DOJ prosecutions and kind of the direction that they were heading. I won't get too deeply into, you know, kind of those specific prosecutions, but needless to say, the point was just that we felt the shift in tone in Washington and the need to get Bitcoiners much more actively involved in the legislative process than they were being up until the summer. And so the Satoshi Needs You campaign came together as a collaboration between the Bitcoin Design Foundation and a couple of the leading policy organizations, the Bitcoin Policy Institute, Coin Center. And now we've expanded out to all of the regional meetups and kind of like affinity groups that we can find around the country. So, you know, PubKey and Presidio Bitcoin and Bitcoin Park and Nashville and Austin, all of these groups were trying to get this visual campaign out on the streets in places where, you know, Bitcoiners congregate so that everybody is exposed to it and is aware of what's going on. I think even here in San Francisco, where we have a lot of people who are deeply involved in the industry and our developers themselves, I'd say about 80% of the people were unaware that the government was actively prosecuting open source software developers over the summer. And, you know, a similar percentage of people had no idea how to even get involved or, you know, how to direct their energy toward getting to a better conclusion. So again, the idea of generating this this image was that this was, you know, kind of based on the Uncle Sam silhouette. It's got kind of a sticky mimetic, you know, kind of call to action and, you know, sense of patriotism that we were hoping to invoke in everybody who's a Bitcoiner. Yeah, again, the idea is that, you know, Satoshi needs you. Like, you know, this network is not going to be able to defend itself. You know, we need everybody to get in the arena and actually make their voices heard. And if we do, again, I think we can absolutely be successful. So it's really, again, just a question of getting actively involved in the process.
Well, it's a fun image. We have it framed up in Presidio Bitcoin. So thank you for the art. Well, in kind of like shifting to like a positive note, has anything with the experience with this kind of campaign and kind of cross-functional effort given you hope about Bitcoin's future?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been here for so long in the community. I'm constantly shocked and surprised by how far we've come in a very small amount of time. I mean, it's really only been 15 years, right? I mean, that's kind of like a blink of an eye, really, in the grand scheme of things for us to have come as far as we have. And I'd say that, you know, this campaign and everything really about the organizing effort has been a great example of kind of the power and also the challenges of being a decentralized community, right? As I mentioned, this has kind of been, it was started as a passion project. Like, you know, there is no corporate sponsor for Save Our Wallets or, you know, the Satoshi Needs You campaign. This is all just being done out of love and kind of self-starting energy from the people who have been involved in it, and the collaboration among, you know, the Bitcoin Design Foundation and the policy organizations and all the regional hubs. It's been awesome to like actually be able to like stitch these together and connect the dots. So I would say, yeah, for me, it's been very encouraging about what we can accomplish together as Bitcoiners when we, you know, stop focusing on being individuals and we focus a little bit more on being a community where we're helping one another and contributing collective resources to mutual objectives.
Yes, it is definitely like, it does give a sense of hope when this type of collaboration happens that's very organic and it's not like, you know, a corporate kind of force thing.
Yeah, which isn't to say that, you know, the corporations aren't good in Bitcoin as well.
How can companies help?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd say the first thing is I'll actually expand it a little bit outside of companies and just say anybody, right? If you have a podcast like this one, or you have a newsletter or any kind of a megaphone that you can help use to distribute the message, that is the most helpful thing right now. Again, like the reason that the campaign was started and is kind of operating, you know, aside from corporate sponsorship is because we didn't want anybody to have weird feelings about supporting this campaign. But that being said, like if you are an organization who has resources to dedicate in-kind contributions to either distribute this message to, you know, your people that you have in your network, or even to finance the creation of the posters and the stickers and the flyers that we're now distributing all around the country and all of these sorts of things would be immensely helpful. So, you know, yeah, I would say that that's probably the two most important ways. And then if you happen to be in the very niche group where like you are a large corporation that's generating a lot of money and you have policy people and you have a presence in Washington, D.C., obviously getting involved in the actual legislative process to help make sure that we get the BRCA provisions, you know, voted into law, that is like, you know, the absolute top of the pyramid, right? So in terms of value. So I'd say that those are probably the main options for people to get involved.
Well, kind of like running out of time here just to like close that thought. So like if there's a company or, you know, whatever that individual, where should they go to contact? How should they get involved? Is there like a group, an email?
Yeah, we've got a Twitter account that's up, Save Our Wallets, but it's with one L. I will say there was a squatter on the normal one and we weren't able to get it, which is unfortunate. But
if you're the squatter listening to this podcast right now,
make an in-kind contribution and give us the double L Twitter account. But yeah, seriously, the other things that you can do is, you know, I guess reach out to me directly. I don't have like a actual Save Our Wallets you know, website where I have an email address, but I'm Kyle Olney on Twitter, at Kyle Olney on Twitter. And then, yeah, I guess I can also be reached at Kyle@escapevelocitypartners.com. So I'd say those are probably the two best places to reach out for the moment. But you're giving me a better idea. I should probably have a better place for people to go and chase me around if they don't already know me.
Yes. I mean, you can vibe code something. You could a domain.
Yeah. Well, we have the domain, but I should set up contact emails at the domain is what I should really do.
Yes. Or you can make like I guess only really Bitcoiners use Discord, but some sort of community group. I don't know if that would be helpful or not for people to join or if that just adds Discord. Groups.
And people love Discord, right?
I feel like Bitcoiners love. Do politicians love Discord? I don't.
Definitely
know.
Not.
I don't know if that's the right thing for politicians.
I think that's probably the next thing they're going to try to ban, if I were to guess.
Email distro might be better.
Yeah, I think an email distro is better. But yeah, just getting involved and sharing the campaign online and spreading the word, I think, is like really the primary ask that we have for people at this point. If you are one of the people who is lucky enough to be in a position where you could, you know, make a financial donation, I would love to talk to you. But that's not really the primary ask that I have at this point. The primary ask is get involved, help make the change, be the change that you want to see in the U.S. government and, you know, kind of like the Bitcoin ecosystem writ large. And together, you know, we'll be able to prosper in the future as a collective group, as long as we maintain the right to transact freely on a peer-to-peer basis with one another and, you know, kind of fulfill the vision or the, you know, ideal of the white paper that, you know, Satoshi gave us all those years ago.
Well, that ends the episode on a great final note. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. If you're in San Francisco or the Bay Area, you should come to some of our meetups at Presidio Bitcoin. Kyle is at many of them. So you can also say hello to either of us then.
Yeah, it would be great to see more people at Presidio Bitcoin. It's beautiful. You can't quite see the full view out this window, but you want to come just for the view.
Yes. And it is SF summer right now, so it's really the best time to be here.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a gorgeous time of year. Don't come in July. That's the worst time to come.
No.
You want to come in October.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, cool.